Thank you, Father. In the Gospels, there are three stories about Jesus raising dead people to life. Can anyone tell me the other two? We've got the widow's son here. Who are the other two people that Jesus raised to life?
Lazarus.
Lazarus was one. And Jairus' daughter. Yeah, well done. 10 out of 10. 2 out of 2. And in our reading, we hear for the first time that Jesus did that miracle of raising somebody from the dead. And the story is the widow's son of Nain. So far, Jesus has proved or begin to reveal that he is the Son of God through what he has been teaching and the way that he can heal sick people and perform miracles. And if anyone had doubts that he was the Son of God, this event is perfectly designed to expel that doubt. It's the creator of life who can give life back to a person, a dead person. And Jesus does this seemingly with no effort at all. It's got similarities with the Old Testament story where Elijah goes and heals a widow's son, but there's a kind of an elaborate ritual that went with that, with Elijah, the way Elijah performed that miracle. But Jesus seemingly walks up to the bear and commands the son to back to life. So what is striking about Jesus' response recorded in verse 13, where it says that his heart went out to her. Do not cry, don't cry. What strikes us about this? Well, it's mercy, isn't it? His heart went out to somebody else. It's compassion. It's unpredictable as well. Who'd have thought at a funeral somebody would do such a thing? It's the power of life over death. It's the king of the miraculous in action. What is a miracle? Well, according to the dictionary, a miracle is an extraordinary turn or event which cannot be explained in the light of any known natural law, or according to the rule of cause and effect, and which is therefore attributed to divine, sorry about this, Jenny, or supernatural intervention. That's what the dictionary says. It's supernatural, it's above natural. And in verse 16, we read the hallmarks of a genuine miracle and what they're designed from God's perspective to do. The people were filled with awe. It raises the whole glory aspect, doesn't it, towards God, and it causes praise toward God, it says. And then it says in verse 17, this news spread. It causes holy gossip. If you want to get the message out that you're carrying, a miracle creates this holy gossip. It says here, this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. The word on the street about Jesus spread like wildfire locally and then beyond that. Jesus was literally the word on the street. That word where it says this news, it's logos. This logos spread. And Jesus, as we know, is the logos of God, the word made flesh. And what was that word on the street? The word on the street was a great prophet has appeared among us. And a Muslim would agree with that. A great prophet has appeared among us. But more than that, we know him as the Son of God. But there's an interesting phrase here, and in the King James Version, it uses this phrase. He says, a great prophet has appeared among us, and God has visited his people. God has visited his people. And I want to just take a brief moment to look at the idea of visitation. It's an old revival word, isn't it? And whenever a revival occurred in the past, or has occurred in the past, the word visitation gets put around. It's a visitation of God by the Holy Spirit. And that word intrigued me. And then I watched something on TV, and he used the word visitation in talking about a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, this word visitation, that's translated as visitation, is used extensively through the Old and the New Testament, and it's got three meanings. Here's a quick language lesson. And the first meaning is in a general sense. It's used like this. In Numbers 16, for instance, it says, and this is a euphemism for dying, they were visited after the visitation of all men. That's quite a phrase, isn't it? But they were visited, that person was visited after the visitation of all men. What happened to that person happened that happens to all men, i.e. they died. They died a natural death. So a visitation can be a natural occurring happening as opposed to something unusual or out of the ordinary, like, you know, dying in an accident. A visitation is a normal event. Teenage angst is visited on every person that reaches 21. At some point you will go through some sort of angst as a teenager. Oh, we got the phrase, the sins of the fathers are visited on their children. Do you see where the word gets used in English language? And do you watch Judge Judy? Anyone watch Judge Judy? Go on. Guilty confession. She often says, you can't visit your stupidity on that person. So that's one sense in which it's used. You can't visitation. But the most frequently used in Scripture, and unfortunately, is in an evil sense. A sense of calamity or distress. Isaiah, the prophet, wrote this, or said this. What will you do in the day of your visitation, and in the desolation that will come from afar? So visitation in that sense marks a calamity. This visitation will come upon you. But the one I want to look at is the one we've got here, where the people say God has visited his people. And it's in the good sense. It's in the sense of God has cared for his people. He's provided and he's shown mercy to his people. There's a day of visitation. In the New International Version, it says, God has come to help his people. There's been a breakthrough. And don't we long for those times in our life where pain ends, or suffering ends, or our confusion ends, and we get a taste of heaven coming into earth, a visitation of heaven to earth, the kingdom come. And if you read on in that chapter, it describes how all this healing and dramatic events was a sign that the kingdom had come on earth. Jesus said, in Job it says this, your visitation, Lord, has preserved my spirit. And in Luke 19:14, Jesus said of his own coming to Israel, that his countrymen, and in particular the leadership of Israel, had failed to recognize the time of their visitation. You know, that heaven had visited earth, and they failed to recognize it. They missed it. Do we recognize the hour of our visitation? Do you, in your life, recognize the time of your visitation? God wants to break in your life in a powerful way by his Holy Spirit. Do you recognize that time? And as Bethania looks to the future, does it discern God's visitation, time of visitation? It's his provision when it comes for leadership in this church. Will we recognize the time of that visitation? Will we grant a clear path for that new leadership? to do its job, to take us into the future. I'm going to read you a little story, a little modern parable, and you probably know it, but I'm going to read it again because I thought it came to mind as I was preparing, and I think it's apt. Once upon a time, a storm descended on a small village by the sea. The downpour quickly turned into a flood, and as the waters rose, sandbags were laid at the gates of the chapel in the village. And the preacher knelt in prayer in the porch. And presently, one of the villagers came up the street in a canoe. "You better get in, preacher, the waters are rising fast." "No," says the preacher, "I will have faith in the Lord. He will save me in this chapel." So still the waters rose, and the preacher climbed up onto the porch roof. He was wringing his hands in supplication when a team from the RNLI floated towards him in an inflatable boat. They urged the preacher, "We need to get you out of here. The sea defences are going to break any minute." But once again, the preacher was unmoved. "I shall remain. The Lord will see me and this chapel through." The storm blew hard against the seawall and it finally broke, and the sea waters flooded into the village, engulfing the chapel, until only the ridge of the roof remained above the water. The preacher clambered up and clung desperately to the chapel's metal cross on the roof, when an air sea rescue helicopter descended out of the clouds, and the Coast Guard pilot called down to the preacher through a megaphone, "Grab the ladder, preacher! This is your last chance." And once again, the preacher insisted the Lord would deliver him, and predictably, he drowned. A pious man, the preacher went to heaven. And after a while, he got an interview with God, and he asked the Almighty, "Lord, I had unwavering faith in you. Why didn't you deliver me from that flood?" And God shook his head. "What did you want from me? I sent you 2 boats and a helicopter." How good are we at recognizing when God's already sent something and provided what we need? When he sends it in the guise of people, he's already sent somebody to meet your need. Do we listen to their encouragement? Do we listen to their exhortation to change? Or words of edification that build us up? These stories are powerful reminders. This story of this miracle is that nothing is impossible when it comes to God. Jesus said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here,' and it will move." Matthew 17:20. Miracles happen when we believe in God. Our faith can move mountains. Jesus told us that. As Jenny mentioned in that reading about the miraculous. But have we got that faith? Have we got that faith?
Walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Then the Lord said, and then eventually you can walk, your faith will walk by sight, because it becomes evident. It's manifest.
Amen. Thank you. It is a matter of faith first, and then the facts follow. Faith first, facts follow. It's not a matter of fact, it's a matter of faith. Let's look at the people's reaction. Did they really understand who Jesus was? They declare him to be a great prophet. Maybe some in the crowd, and it tells us there was a great crowd, they're moving along with him, thought nothing of it. Or maybe they thought he was Elijah, the prophet, as mentioned. A similarity between the two miracles. Certainly, they say, God has visited us. There's a manifestation of God in our midst. God's hand is working among them through Jesus. Did they realize that he was Emmanuel, God with them? Degrees of exposure. Jesus is gradually revealing who he is. And this miracle is the first degree of that. It was not to be by earthly wisdom that this would be grasped, but by the simple accepting wisdom that a child shows by faith. And God, if you have doubts about Jesus, God will expand your revelation of who Jesus truly is. Just be open. If you're a scientific mind, don't overthink it. Faith is important. Anyway, so they're my thoughts on that miracle. Let's know the time of our visitation, and let's know who is visiting us and what power he has. And let's pray now.